This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Breaking tonight, President Trump on offense about reports that he told his Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein what to say in a crucial memo that played a role in the firing of James Comey. Sources telling Fox News that President Trump asked Rosenstein to make it clear in the memo that he was not under investigation in the Russia probe. The president hit back at that today, tweeting that Russia had nothing to do with the Comey firing. Fired FBI Director Andrew McCabe reportedly wrote a memo about all of this as it was happening, and now that memo is in the hands of Robert Mueller. Here now, Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor, to react to that and some other news today. Jonathan, good to see you this evening. Martha. So what is the significance of the McCabe memo that he wrote and turned over, according to this?
Well, it's hard to say. I think ultimately it may say more about McCabe's mindset than the president's. The president was perfectly clear. He told everyone from the FBI director to his barber that he wanted it to be made public that he was not a target or subject of the investigation. He's been very consistent about that. All the witnesses have said that. And so it's not too surprising that he suggested the same mantra. Now, it might be an obsession, to be sure, but it's not a cover story, at least for people looking at it objectively. If McCabe wrote the memo because he felt the president was trying to create a cover story, it really does raise this question of how McCabe viewed the president and his motivations. So the memo may say a lot about both men.
So in terms of, here's one of the tweets that the president put out today. Not that it matters, but I never fired James Comey because of Russia. The corrupt mainstream media keeps loving to push that narrative, but they know it's not true. Now, what everybody took off on today was this soundbite that everyone remembers from NBC back in 2017.
And in fact, when I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election.
So, Jonathan Turley, I mean, you know, the question is, if that was what was in his mind, that he wanted Rosenstein to say that he was not under investigation, we know that was, you know, stuck in his craw, that he wanted Mueller, Comey, to say that as well. Is there anything illegal about that, or is that obstruction in any way in and of itself?
Well, I think two points should be made. First of all, obviously, this was self-immolation. I don't understand why the president would say that. But in fairness to him, he went on in the same interview and he said, I understand by firing Comey, I am likely to prolong this investigation. He also indicated that he understood the investigation had to run its course. Comey himself said that the president agreed with him that the investigation should run its course. And so the record is not quite as clear as people make out to be. But in terms of obstruction, I think that there is no credible evidence based on the Comey firing to make out a criminal charge. There were plenty of reasons for Trump to fire Comey. The Rosenstein letter revealed what everyone already knows, and that is that Republicans and Democrats alike, former justice officials, felt that he should be fired. Now, he had a perfectly valid reason to do so. The statement obviously has cost him a great deal, but I don't think it makes out a case for obstruction.
Yeah, I mean, it really all depends in the end. We're all waiting for this report from Robert Mueller and how he interprets it. But according to these stories, you know, there's a breathless story every single day, basically, that pushes forward this narrative and tries to get into the mind of Robert Mueller about how he's interpreting all of this. But the bottom line is, Jonathan, that we really don't know how he's interpreting all of this.
I think that's absolutely right. I can tell you that from a criminal defense standpoint, people are fooling themselves when they say believe that the Comey firing alone would be the basis of an obstruction case. Moreover, the president has a good basis to argue even his problems with Sessions did not amount to obstruction. I think he's wrong about Sessions. I think Sessions took the right step. I think that was the ethical course to take. But The president can say that he felt that the FBI was hostile territory, and that when he came into office and found out the FBI was investigating him, he wanted to have one of his own people at the top of that investigation.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on, stop.
Well, happy Friday to you, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. We've got a lot going on, and we're going to start off with John Guandolo. He's back with us, president and founder of Understanding the Threat, the only organization in the nation which provides a detailed assessment of the enemy threat in your local area, provides law enforcement investigative solutions, and create state-level counterinsurgency strategies to identify, dismantle, and defeat the jihadi network in your area. Is the author of the book, Raising a Jihadi Generation. John Guandolo, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you very much. Great to be back on.
Well, speaking of your book, I want to remind everybody they can go to your website, understandingthethreat.com or Amazon. Also available at all the usual places and linked on our website, right?
That's correct.
Well, excellent.
Threat.com.
Well, here we are. How many years down the road that we've been dealing with the Islamic threat, John? And are we better off today than we were, let's say 10 years ago in dealing with this?
Well, I think we're, in some ways, we're much worse off. Because we're better off today because I believe the average citizen understands the threat and understands that Islam is a part of the problem than we did in 2001 or even just 10 years ago. However, the leadership, both political parties, and I'm going to exclude the president himself out of this because he seems on a gut level to understand this, but leaders, so Republicans, you know, Marco Rubio, John McCain, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, et al., on that side of the aisle, and then basically the entire Democrat Party do not understand. And those that do, if they do understand the threat, then that means they're directly aiding and abetting our enemy, which is a much different problem. That's where we are. We are being continually told, and it's not just that we're being told that Islam's not the problem, that this is radical, this is, you know, this is a fringe, this is whatever adjective you attach to it. It's that foreign policy and counterterrorism strategies are legally being pursued and taught to police and federal agents, and that's why we're failing. That's why we have catastrophically failed. And that's why, I mean, the evidence of that is our training that we do, which we're the only ones in the country doing it. Police chiefs, sheriffs, and prosecutors have said directly has led to them opening up an investigation. And 100% of the people, when they sit through our 3-day program at the end, will say, number one, we've never heard this information. Number two, it's critical to protecting the community. And I'm not just this is important. I'm not just saying that to sell our training programs. Mm-hmm. This is about actually protecting local communities. This is about actually identifying and put your finger on jihadis and then arresting them and doing everything legally to dismantle these networks in the community, which is why the bad guys come after us. They are full bore after us. The suit-wearing jihadi organizations, the Marxist organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Anti-Defamation League, all these Marxist, quite frankly, anti-law enforcement organizations that are working with the jihadis.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the war is. It's at this level right here.
Right. And certainly at the local level, we can do so much. But as you pointed out, and you didn't say this, but certainly by experience and observation, the previous administration was very empathetic and sympathetic towards Muslims. And, you know, and you and I discussed this before, the training manuals, things that would point out the obvious were set aside and really have left us a bit vulnerable. And this is, if we're doing this at the leadership, at the top end, then what gets down to the local level? I mean, to such a degree, as you say, that you have people that you're training come in going, wait, we've never heard about this. Why haven't we? I mean, because they have to think as our first line of defense out there at the local level, they got to feel like, wait a minute, you know, have they been abandoned here? They've been lied to and left to be vulnerable.
Well, that is a great point you just made, and I want to say that the response to our training is normally the first half of the first day is you can see it on their faces. And if you've ever been in a room full of, you know, police officers and even some federal agents, but local and state police, you know, they come in, they want the training, they want to learn. But, you know, a lot of these people are experienced, and they always come in kind of like, hey, you know,
what new stuff am I going to learn here, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And in the first 3 hours, literally by lunch, their faces are shocked.
Mm-hmm.
It's utter shock. And by the end of the first day, they're furious. And by mid the second day or end of the second day, they're despondent. And many of them have come up to me and said, you know, hey, I've been a police officer 17 years, 20 years. I've been a detective. I've been on the street. I've been doing all these different things. And I feel responsible that I've let my community down. But I assure them, I'm like, this is a federal responsibility, and the feds were responsible and are responsible for training you on this. And they failed.
Yeah.
So we're doing it. We're coming in and we're doing it. But, you know, it's really important, but I'm telling you, we, on the third day, I mean, literally at the end of the second day, probably the most common thing we hear is there any hope?
Mm.
Because when you understand how bad the threat is, that's a normal response.
Oh, exactly.
And the average cop, now these are not just citizens, these are police officers that have been on the street dealing with all kinds of terrible stuff for years, and that's their response. Is there any hope? And then on the third day, we show them there's great hope, and we're going to empower you with these tools to go out into your community and crush these jihadis, crush these terrorists, and we're going to show you how to investigate them. This is why my organization understands threats under assault, because the bad guys know we are giving them We're giving them the shovel so they can hit pay dirt.
Exactly.
And we're giving them the tools to take the fight to these bad guys. That's why we're doing what nobody else in the country is doing, which is why but you know what? We're good with it. This is the battle. This is the war, and we're not afraid of the battle, but this is where it's being fought. But this is really, really important stuff.
Exactly.
We're showing them you have the power to do this, and now you got to get your prosecutors and your judges and your leadership on board. And it does take courage, because you're cutting across the grain of 17 years of a narrative that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, that was my next question, is that it's one thing for the downline to get it and understand. I mean, for their own safety, it all makes sense. And, of course, they're going to, like most police officers, they probably want to run out of that classroom when all the light bulbs are flashing in their head to say, we got to fix this thing up right away. But, you know, they've got to go through procedure. You know, leadership has to understand, the judges, everybody needs to be equally educated and appreciative of this information, what it means for their safety and the safety of their community.
Well, that's That's right. And what we're trying to do is give them tools so as they take these cases forward, as they push this stuff forward, then prosecutors, police chiefs, sheriffs, which we are also trying to educate, become aware of it and are willing to step out. Okay. But they need to do, these leaders need to know they're stepping out with
exactly.
the support of leaders in the community.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own, and only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code RADIO at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Interested in trading as a way to generate extra monthly income? Listen up. Before you sign up for some garbage program or awkward in-person seminar, you really need to hear about the online trader program that everyone's talking about. This is the program that allows you to get your account funded with someone else's money. That's right. Apiary Fund will gladly put up to $100,000 of their money into your trading account. And the best part? You get to keep 85% of the profits without putting in a dime of your own money. Apiary Fund and this program are growing like crazy. If you're looking for a way to generate extra income every month and finally learn how to win trades like the pros, just call 800-342-2968. Leave your email address on our voicemail and we will send you all the exciting details of how to trade Apiary Fund's money and not your own. Call 800-342-2968. And again, just leave your email on our voicemail to get your free report on how you can trade someone else's money. Call 800-342-2968. That's 800-342-2968.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Bill Martinez live. 19 minutes. minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. This might be of interest here. Another country is banning the burqa. They say they've had enough. Officially, the law doesn't name the burqa, but everyone is calling it the burqa ban anyway, because it's pretty clear that's what they are responding to. This is according to Clash Daily. Denmark on Thursday became the latest European nation to ban garments that cover the face, such as Islamic veils, including burqas and hijabs. Danish lawmakers approved the law, which was presented by the country's center-right governing coalition in a 75-30 vote, according to The Guardian. John Guandola continues with us. John, there has been such a suspension of reality and logic in dealing with Islam. I mean, Islam, it's amazing how they've been able to fortify themselves all on the guise of Islamophobia and political correctness, to where, you know, this issue of, you know, now the banning of burqas, I'm sure, is causing, you know, some excitement now that you have the fifth country that has said, look, we're not going to suspend reality anymore. This is practical, and this is for the good of all concerned.
Well, I think there's something that happens in human nature, and I can, like, relating it from a criminal standpoint, you know, if you know that a particular crime, let's say rape, is growing, let's just say in the United States, well, most people, they're not paying attention. And then they say, well, rape has actually increased 50% in your state in the last 6 months. Well, that might get your attention a little bit, but you're not going to change your behavior. And then they tell you that rape's increased 50% in your county or 80% in your county in the last month. Well, you might be like, well, what's going on? All of a sudden you're paying attention. And then when your daughter gets raped, you're going to demand that there's justice done.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. You were asleep. You know, you decided that you had better things to do than to deal with a real threat to your community. And I'm sorry that it impacted you personally, but it's a very selfish attitude that we have, that so long as it doesn't, this is a part of it. This is not the whole thing, but this is a part of it. The psychology that until it affects me personally, I, as a member of the community, am not going to do anything. I just find it to be a very selfish thing, but it's something we all have as human beings. We've all done it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not casting aspersions just out. I'm saying we all do that in some form or another until it impacts us and then it makes us uncomfortable. Like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this is. In Europe, the Europeans now have laid it down, and you have actually leaders in Hungary and Poland who have said, we don't want you in our country. You are not welcome here anymore, and here's why. It's because the principles that you live under are in direct conflict to our principles of liberty, of life, of love. We don't want you. You're not welcome here. In other countries, they're to the point where they're saying, you're here. We're not saying you're not welcome, but we're saying you cannot do these things that express your support for foreign law that contradicts our law. So they're at different levels. Whereas in the United States, we're falling over backwards still to try to appease people who literally openly tell us they want to overthrow us and wage war against us.
Yeah, it just seems idiotic, John. I mean, you know, they stand there before you telling you that they want you dead. You know, this is the same thing that's been going on in Israel for many years. And we just have deaf ears to this. And sadly, you know, as I keep telling people, it's like we have to get up on top of the roof and fall off the roof and realize the law of gravity exists. I mean, it's that obvious. And we're ignoring the obvious all in the name of this political correctness and, you know, whatever that goes on and on. It's like, you know, at some point, like these other countries, enough is enough. And, you know, you mentioned these other countries and, you know, rapes of women, the abuse of women, how that is increased. And, you know, the spear of that, by and large, has been, young Muslim boys who go in there and they think that that's okay because that's their culture, because women are less than. They're devalued in that culture. So when they come to another country, how do you think they're going to treat the women there? Are they going to treat them any different than what they did in their own homeland?
Well, that's right. And we've been excusing it for far too long. You know, we have in Europe and in the United States plenty of examples of, men mistreating women, and then we write it off to it's a cultural difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, year before last, we had on New Year's, you know, literally hundreds of women, in one estimate over 1,000 in Cologne, Germany, who were sexually assaulted by Muslim men,
mm-hmm.
and exclusively by Muslim men. And, you had the mayor of Cologne, a woman, which is disgraceful, say that what we need to do is teach the woman how to behave differently so they don't get sexually assaulted.
Oh, wow.
That is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we need to address the problem. We need to tell them point blank, this behavior is not welcome. And if this is your behavior, you're not welcome. So goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's what the president of the United States is trying to say by saying we're not accepting people from these countries because, number one, we cannot vet them, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you believe in a system of living that is absolutely not compatible with ours. And this idea that all cultures are equally valuable is nonsense. They are not. Islam is not the same. The Islamic culture, the Islamic law is contrary to U.S. law and Western values of love and equality and rule of law. It's just not the same. To say it is to be wrong. There's not a discussion to be had,
mm-hmm.
because Sharia is very clear what it is, and our system is very clear what it is, and the two are in direct contrast.
Exactly.
And I think the way you described it as a complete disconnect from reality is exactly what it is. You cannot have a reasonable disagreement with somebody who is going to try to discuss and explain how Sharia can be compatible with Western culture and Western legal system. That's not a real discussion.
You put Sharia law face to face against the U.S. Constitution, it's antithetical to it. So how can you come here into this country and think that you're going to impose your law, but yet, you know, we've had, whatever you want to call them, liberals, progressives think, oh, well, we're Islamophobic because, we're standing up for our Constitution. No, we're not. We're not Islamophobic. You know, we believe in the Constitution. You want to come here? You want to add to the American dream and be a part of a greater America? Hey, the red carpet is out for you. You want to come here and you want to abuse our people and use our Constitution against us to, your own culture into this country? That's unacceptable. It's not going to happen.
Right. And there's two big things here that I want to address.
We got about a minute. We got about a minute left, John. So go ahead.
Okay. The first thing is tying individual Muslims to the doctrine. So so people will say you're saying that all people that that are Muslim are bad. I've never said that. Individual human beings are individual human beings, but the system of Sharia is barbaric. That's not a discussion point. The other thing is that these organizations that say things like you're Islamophobic, those aren't organizations that represent us.
Mm-hmm.
Those are enemy hostile organizations, and we need to treat them like that.
Yeah. We're talking groups like CARE, for example. For more information, check out John's website. It's all right there. You've got to know. Education precedes action, as we say on the show, and we want the right education and the right action. UnderstandingTheThreat.com is where you want to go. John Guandolo, former FBI agent assigned to the Counterterrorism Division in Washington, D.C., and founder of Understanding the Threat. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M of NutraMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Someone has to stand up and say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Now I'm just a beggar. Back with the America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Rachel Bavard joins us now, Senior Director of Policy at the Conservative Partnership Institute. Worked in senior positions on Capitol Hill for a number of members of Congress, including Senators Rand Paul, Pat Toomey, and Mike Lee. Rachel, always good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about immigration. Looks like House Republican leaders say there's going to be delay. We just don't really want to deal with immigration right now heading into the midterms. What do you say?
Well, I think that's part of the problem, is that they haven't dealt with this issue all year. And as a result, you're seeing a group of moderate Republicans throw their hat in the ring with Democrats to say, look, we are going to give you the keys to the House floor, so Nancy Pelosi, take over and pass amnesty out of a Republican-controlled House. And that's what the House is facing down when they come back to Washington next week, and it's a real problem for a lot of conservatives.
You imagine, I mean, here we got Republicans grabbing the mantle from Paul Ryan, and they're giving it, they're giving the gavel to Nancy Pelosi. That is quite the picture in my mind right now.
It's one that would have been unthinkable in January, but this is where we are. And Republican leadership, to be honest, is not doing that much to stop it. And this is a very dangerous position, I think, for Republicans to be in heading into the midterms when this is a key issue that they campaigned on and that President Trump campaigned on, was no amnesty and only border security. And this is exactly the opposite of those two things.
For some reason, I'm just not misunderstanding, especially with Paul Ryan. Lame duck, okay, what has he got to lose? He's not vying for anything. If anything, he can really fall on his sword for the greater good, can he not?
Left a lot of people scratching their heads why he's not doing it, but you have to wonder a little bit, is that he's anointed his majority leader, Kevin McCarthy, as his successor, and so I think he's trying to stay above the fray and let McCarthy sort of handle this situation, but the problem is no one is handling it, and right. We're in a situation where Democrats are now calling the shots, and Republicans are looking increasingly weak, in the face of Democrats telling them what to do, and that's not a good thing.
Well, though Kevin McCarthy may be his heir apparent, that doesn't seem to be the rest, the concession for the rest of the Republican Party. They're looking for other people, particularly Jim Jordan. So it would almost appear on face that Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the political capital here.
Yeah, I think this is a big risk for him going into the race for Speaker. I think a lot of people are watching how he handles this, and it's not looking good for him. Like you said, he's made pleas to his fellow Republicans openly and in closed-door meetings. He said, please don't sign this, don't do this to us right before the midterms. And they just haven't listened to him. They've just blown him off and ignored him, and that's never a good sign for someone who wants to take the mandate to lead the conference. So you're right that it could lead to sort of a dark horse candidacy for Speaker from conservatives like Jim Jordan.
Well, with your experience on Capitol Hill with Senators Rand Paul and Pat Toomey and Mike Lee, you understand some of the small game dynamics that are taking place. Help our audience appreciate that why the Republicans, because they're saying, why are the Republicans doing it? There must be some gain for them. Help them understand why Republicans would want to do this.
Well, I think you're seeing a number of moderate Republicans air their frustration and their grievances with their leadership. They're saying, we're not addressing this issue. We want to deal with DACA in some form. And Republican leadership has been sitting on a bill since January that was introduced by Bob Goodlatte from Virginia that would deal with the DACA issue in exchange for some tough border security measures, funding for Trump's wall, and an end to chain migration, three of the big things President Trump has said he supports. Republican leadership has been sitting on that bill, and they have not brought it to the floor. And as a result, you're seeing this handful of Republicans say, well, we're done waiting for you. We're going to walk across the aisle and hand the keys of the House floor to Democrats so at least we can have some votes on this.
Well, the Goodlatte bill, time and again, we hear a lot of positive things about it, that it is an exceptional alternative, not one of those 100% deals, kind of one of those Ronald Reagan type bills that gives you a good bite of the apple and allows you a chance to come back and get more down the road. But just to kick it down the road and ignore it, I can appreciate their frustration. But let me ask you this, where some of these moderate Republicans, are their seats in jeopardy to where they feel like they need to do something, even on face value, to say, look at, hey, we're, our leadership made us go the other way, but here's what we did in the final hours before the 2018 election.
I think they could easily make that case. However, I think what's frustrating a lot of people is that, they are facing no retribution from their leadership for actively sort of bucking them on this issue. If you recall, conservatives have a number of times tried this tactic with discharge petitions or even lesser, opposition to their leadership. And as a result, they've been kicked off their committees. They've been, stripped of fundraising opportunities. All these things have happened to them. And these moderate Republicans, Paul Ryan has gone out and campaigned for them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a real mixed message, I think, for conservatives who are trying to figure, trying to be in Washington to do what they promised to do.
And by the same token, the conservative caucus it seems to be gaining some momentum and strength and enthusiasm here, Rachel.
No, that's true. You're seeing the House Freedom Caucus grow in number, and that's a good sign. That's a strong, you want to have a strong, robust conservative movement in the House. But the leadership sort of, bare knuckles with them anytime they try to force their agenda on the House. And I think it's frustrating because you're seeing the moderates do it now to no consequence and, in fact, to reward when conservatives do the same and are literally, given broken arms and black eyes over it.
Well, here we are. I mean, we're right at the door
two GOP signatures away from forcing a series of votes, as you write, designed to pass amnesty for upwards of 17 million illegal immigrants. I always find it interesting, Rachel, and you know these numbers better than I do, certainly, but it seems to be a rather dynamic number when we talk about illegal immigrants. I mean, it's 13, 17. I've heard numbers as high as 30. So, you know, it's like, okay, how did we get to 17? But I guess that's as good a number as 13 or 30, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of it depends on or makes assumptions about the quadrupling effect of chain migration. Mm-hmm. So if you give certain individuals legal status, they will then bring, you know, all of their extended family with them. And so a lot of what, you know, think tanks will do is sort of extrapolate based on historical data to come to those numbers. So that's about a mid-range number, a mid-range assessment about what these policies would do. And to keep in mind, too, DACA, the number of DACA recipients that we're talking about that we want to address is only 700,000.
Right.
And the bills that are under consideration with this moderate Republican-Democrat proposal don't deal with far, far more than just DACA recipients. They're dealing with Dreamers and a host of other illegal immigrants as well.
Exactly. Well, the Dreamers started out 700,000. President Trump said, hey, look, I'm not only going to give you the 700, I'm going to give you another 900, so 1.8 or 1.6 million. I guess what's a couple more bodies here and there when we're talking immigration. So that number is a bit dynamic as well. Well, let me ask you, in reality, from where you're seeing this, Rachel, what is the reality of some solution before the 2018? Do you think that leadership is able to withhold this movement that seems to be gaining some momentum here?
Well, the only way that this can be stopped, so if two more Republicans sign on to this thing, it's in motion. There's not much leadership can do to stop it. The only way they could stop it is to bring the good luck bill to the floor and pass it, and that would render the discharge petition moot because it hinges on, you know, that good luck bill as part of the grouping of four. So if they pass that good luck bill first, this whole issue could be dealt with. Mm-hmm. They won't do it. They won't bring it to the floor and break the arms necessary to get it across the finish line, which is their job.
Exactly.
And I think it's tremendously frustrating for a lot of people who voted for these guys to prioritize border security and national sovereignty.
Well, it seems that if they do not put the good luck bill on the floor, they're going to be rather embarrassed on this thing, Rachel, if leadership goes by the wayside here.
I think that's exactly right. But even more than that, I think it's shattering for Republicans' credibility, especially ahead of the midterm elections. Most of this Republican majority campaigned on border security. They took on President Obama over his illegal executive amnesty. They've been campaigning on this issue, promising voters they would address it. They haven't done so. And as a result, a Republican House is going to pass amnesty. I mean, that's embarrassing, but it's also catastrophic for the brand and integrity of this party.
Without a doubt. A senior director of policy at the Conservative Partnership Institute, Rachel Bovard, has been with us. Rachel, thank you. Great insight as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Money. Money. Money.
Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business. So you'll get loans with competitive interest rates. And in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive.
So when you just can't face tomorrow, when you're down deep in sorrow, when your faith is on the edge, don't be afraid to stare. Cause even if you fail, fly, he'll get you by surprise.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Joni DiBrito joins us now with Focus on the Family. She is a parenting expert, and we're going to talk about, I don't know if you've noticed, but I happen, just because I travel a lot these days, and I always watch families in this this socially media-connected age in which we live in. It's interesting that you will have a family, say, at a breakfast table, and all four of them are on their cell phones. They're not even talking. They're not even enjoying the breakfast, you know, and whether it's in Hawaii or some beautiful part of a country. And I go, what is wrong with this picture? Joni DiBrito, I'm sure you've observed this as well. What is going on in our culture that we can't be in the moment with others, like family members that we love? And it's like, you know, one time I asked somebody, I said, tell me you're not, you know, texting the other person across the table. And they said, well, yeah, like that's a problem, instead of talking to them.
Yes, you know, I saw that scenario. Excuse me. I saw that scenario just yesterday when I was at a restaurant, and I see it quite often, actually. And I think what it is that people think that they have information that they have to get right away. There's this fear of missing out on something. And it's really sad because it's such a great time for family members to connect around a meal or around a dinner table, and unfortunately those opportunities are lost.
Well, I got to tell you, for me personally, it's tough. I try to disconnect. I mean, this is what I do for a living. So I'm gathering information in order to, you know, put it out there to, you know, listeners and followers and that sort of thing. But I have to really force myself to, you know, shut it down, you know, and because one of the last things I want to hear from, you know, my children or my wife is that, hey, you know, can you put that thing down? You know, because, right. You know, we've noticed the increasing, I don't know if it's dependence or connection with these electronic devices and how they take away from, you know, the things that are most important, which is our family members, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, from a parenting perspective, there are a lot of studies that have shown the effects of overuse of cell phones on the part of parents when they're in the presence of their kids. So, for instance, we found that kids with parents who overuse their phones are more negative and less resilient than the kids with parents who don't overuse their phones. Kids tend to feel unimportant and as if they need to compete with the smartphone for attention. Distracted parental attention harms kids' social and emotional development. And then also, obviously, it just interferes with healthy parenting, and it leaves kids feeling really sad and mad and lonely and so forth. And we also know that not only does that overuse of cell phone and smartphone technology affect kids, but it affects all of us. So there are rising rates of anxiety, much of which is due to overexposure to bad news and distorted views of others' lives. And we have this phenomenon now, especially with social media, where people look at others' lives, which are very unreal versions of their lives, and they compare them, and they start to feel bad about their own lives because they feel as if they don't compare as well.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because your word, the distortion of life, when you are taking snapshots and you happen to be in a beautiful location, whether it's Maui or wherever it is that you happen to be on vacation for that moment, it's not necessarily a blessing to others that are picking up on this. They're saying, wait, how come Joni's out there? You know, she's there at the Eiffel Tower. How come I'm not there? What's up with that?
It would also be a very distorted view of my life if I happen to be in Hawaii taking those pictures. That's just one snapshot during the day. It doesn't show the moments that I spent combing my hair. It doesn't show the moments I spent cleaning my countertops or cleaning out my car, or having to go get gas or whatever. People don't take pictures of the mundane things of life, and so it looks as if other people have these Kodak so moments or these very
glamorous lives or whatever,
all
right?
All day long. Yeah. Yes, all day long they have moments that are memory-making moments, and that's really not the way we live our lives at all.
And it's amazing. We gravitate to that. I mean, look at Kim Kardashian. Look at the career, I guess, if you want to call it that, that she has created for herself. I mean, she's just about, you know, being, a self-acclaimed famous person, and has all these followers and lives this glam life that, we're drawn to. There's something about us that makes us curious and interesting. I mean, the magazines have been doing this for a long time, but social media has taken it to a whole new level, hasn't it?
It really has. It really has. And I think what's really important for parents in particular to know is that kids crave parental attention. So there was a story that came out about a teacher who asked her students to write something about technology, and there were several kids in the class that said, gosh, I wish that I could get rid of my mom's cell phone because it's so distracting. And the great message under that is the kid is saying, I want time with my parents.
Right.
And that's what's really important. So, you know, it's so important for parents to connect with their kids in the cell phones, smartphones, looking up recipes, looking up scores of games, trying to get the latest on stock or check in with Facebook and so forth. Those just serve as distractions from the time that parents need to really get to know and fall in love with their children.
Yeah. Interesting. USA Today, second graders at a Louisiana school wish their parents would get off their phones. Right. Elementary school teacher Jen Beeson, said four of her students told her they wish phones were never invented.
Yes.
Well, you know, what does that tell you?
Well, you know, kids have always needed quality and quantity of time because their lives unfold spontaneously, and they don't necessarily accomplish new and exciting things or need direction only at the times when we're paying attention. Mm-hmm. So as much as possible, parents need to be there to celebrate important achievements and listen to what's in their hearts and take advantage of those teachable moments. You know, on my phone a couple days ago, I got this lovely little video of my grandson riding his bicycle for the first time. You think of those milestones of the yes. first step that a baby takes. And riding a bicycle all by yourself is one of those first things. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, his parents, my daughter and son-in-law, were there to see that and to encourage him and to cheer him on.
Exactly. And to share the video with you.
We
were just blessed as well. Our daughter sent us a video, our 18-month-old grandson in Maui, and he was on a skateboard. And this kid, it's unbelievable. He's 18. I'm going, wait, he's 18 months old. How does he know to do this? And then, of course, the second thing that kicked in almost immediately was, where is the kid's helmet?
I was just thinking exactly the same thing when you told that story. I wonder if he had a helmet on.
Well, yeah, I go, helmet, you know, wrist guards, all this stuff, you know. The orthopedists across the country are going to love this video. They're going to send it out there because it'll keep them in business for a long time.
Right.
And
right.
So I told my daughter, and of course, she did, you know, positively respond to Dad. Yeah, we went out, and I said, because he's 18 months. He did, you know. He is the kind of kid that if you're not watching him, he's going to be on that skateboard by himself.
Sure.
And so it's those moments that do come about, in those instances, we're very grateful for this technology. But the fact of the matter is, Joni, is if you've been saying, and statistics are showing, you know, we're spending, especially young kids are spending, you know, 10 hours a day
yes.
in front of these devices. I mean, you think about it. If you are what you consume, then you need to consider what it is that you're putting into your mind, you know, through these devices.
Right. And, you know, we know that there are so many good things about technology, but the negative thing about kids spending so much time in front of technology, we can talk about all the issues of how that affects your brain, but what people often forget about is that it's contributing to such high levels of obesity as well, because human bodies, especially growing children's bodies, were not meant to sit down stagnant in front of a screen for 10 hours a day. They need to be out in the sunshine. They need to be out moving around. They need to be getting exercise. They need to be consuming all of God's beauty of creation and really taking in all of that instead of sitting in front of a screen.
Exactly. And, of course, now we're considering the adverse effects it has, on parents and on kids particularly. And I'm sure parents that are hearing this probably know instinctively, yeah, I'm guilty of that. I need to do better. And, yes, we all need to do better. And understand that when we're around, especially these young kids, I mean, their formative years, you cannot relive this. I mean, these moments go so quick, Joni, as you know, right?
I do. And, you know, I do have some tips for parents, and
yes,
I think we all fall in this boat, and we all recognize that there are places where we could improve. One is to designate a phone-free zone and phone-free times of the day and stick to them. So obvious times are meals and play times while you're driving. At church, it's interesting to me sometimes when I'm at church and I see people not looking up Bible verses on their phone or trying to stay with the sermon, but actually looking at Facebook, that sort of thing, before and after school. Recognize that kids are going to copy your behavior and expect them to model you. So if you want them to be able to have a quality life and not be glued to the screen, then you need to not be glued to the screen as well. I also often tell people, picture your family life in 5 years. And do you hope for a family where everyone is sitting around their phones and not talking? Or do you hope for a family that's engaging with one another? And then also do a quick values checkup when you're tempted to get on your phone and just think, which is really more important? Is it a recipe or looking up a score at the last game of the Stanley Cup? Or
exactly. We got to leave it there, Joni.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
It's a no-brainer.